Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. We thank you that you lead us in prayers, Lord, from helping people see like trees to a greater clarity. We pray for that greater clarity today. Even you had to pray twice for that to happen. And so we pray today, open our eyes, that we may see you in all of your glory and your kingly majesty. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I love that story, don't you? It has so much in it about the laying on of hands, about how to pray for the sick, and sometimes why we need to pray more than one time. As Father Derek said, the bulletin was printed and we had a different sermon for this day. And then we found out later that day, after things were printed and run off, that Bishop Stuart truly is coming. And so he'll be here next week. He will be preaching, he will be celebrating the Eucharist, and he'll be actually ministering the sacramental rite of confirmation for those who are on the membership track. And so I guess we have, how many have signed up? Maybe 15 or so? I don't know. And in light of that, I thought it might be appropriate to change the message and share a bit with you about confirmation and how we view confirmation, which is the laying on of hands with prayer by a bishop. What is that? In the early formation of the church, baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist were the three principal rites of initiation all bound together. After catechism was completed, the candidates would be baptized, they would rise up out of the water, then they would be chrismated, that is the confirmation, the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon the baptized. And then they would receive the Eucharist, those three rites of initiation. And the Eastern Church still holds this practice. All three go together. Now, as the church expanded beyond the major urban centers, bishops were not able to cover the expanding territory quickly enough for baptisms and confirmation. So the Western Church chose to separate the rite of baptism and confirmation to a time when the bishop could actually visit. In this, they chose to maintain the bishop as a symbol of unity, thus separating baptism and confirmation. Anglicans chose to maintain this practice. St. Aidan's is a member of a diocese within a province. And a diocese is a communion, that word koinonia in the New Testament, it's a fellowship of local churches. We're one of some 30 churches in our diocese, overseen by one bishop, the most fundamental expression of the Catholic Church. Many congregations as one body, one church, under one Lord. And that symbolism of that unity is the bishop overseeing the congregations. He is our chief pastor. Now, when I say the most fundamental expression of the Catholic little c, church, this is taken from St. Ignatius in the second century, long before we have understandings of what, say, Roman Catholicism is. There are many Catholicisms. Anglicanism is one Catholicism. The Eastern Church is one Catholicism. The Roman Church is one Catholicism. Even the Roman Catholic Church under the Pope have various Eastern rites under them that have different liturgies. It's a different Catholicism. It's one body and one Lord with different liturgies and with different traditions historically. We believe that being in a diocese, that is the most fundamental expression of the one church, the one body, with a bishop, with priests and deacons and congregations united in one koinonia, in one fellowship. And that represents the many fellowships throughout the world, which is the Church Catholic. That's the way we view that. And so our clergy at St. Aidan's serve you on behalf of Bishop Stuart. I serve you on behalf of Bishop Stuart. I have only delegated authority that he has given me to celebrate the Eucharist, you see. And that, again, is a symbol of the unity that we share. We are under godly authority and care. I say this because those of you who will receive the sacramental rite of confirmation likewise will come under his care. It's a symbol when he lays hands on you. You saw that in the Old Testament. This goes back way to the Old Testament. When Joshua received some of Moses' authority by the laying on of hands in our reading today in Numbers, you see. This is something that is Catholic, that is echoing the Old Testament, the Jewish scriptures, and the Jewish scriptures are ours. Divine authority is delegated by the one in whom all authority has been given, the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 28, the risen Lord appears and he says, all authority. You see, the issue is authority. All authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then he's telling the apostles, go therefore, because I am sending you with that delegated authority to make disciples of all nations. And it happened. And the promise of that was, and behold, I will be with you always, even until the end of the age. As we make disciples, we're doing it in union with Jesus. We're yoking into him and we're learning from him because he's gentle and humble of heart. And we find rest for our souls as we yoke with Jesus in this thing that he's doing called building his church. He says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You know, because Jesus said that, you can count on it, right? Yeah, so that's a promise that we always want to live into, that even though sometimes it seems like things are being destroyed, the foundations are being destroyed, the church might be under attack, or the church might be representing something that is not holy, regardless of any of that, Jesus will build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He shall prevail. And so how do we understand confirmation? Okay. Out of our Book of Common Prayer, in confirmation, God, through the bishop's prayer for daily increase of the Holy Spirit, strengthens, note that word strengthens a believer for Christian life in the service of Christ in his kingdom. Grace is God's gift. And we pray that he will pour out his Spirit on those who have already been made his children by adoption and grace in baptism. And so you receive the Holy Spirit in baptism for sure. But then the power to live out that baptismal life and walk in your baptismal vows takes an anointing, takes grace, takes the Holy Spirit coming up on us as well. The aim of confirmation is to receive power from the Holy Spirit, to be witnesses of Jesus living inside of us, and the sharing of one's spiritual gifts. You may receive spiritual gifts in the rite of confirmation that you're not aware of, and they may begin to emerge in your life because of the laying on of hands. This is what we're praying for. We're asking, we're seeking, we're knocking, that you would be so full of the life of God and the gifts of the Holy Spirit that when we begin to pray for healing, or when we begin to prophesy, or when we begin to minister in its various forms, we will have power. We're praying for more of that. We're praying for God's authority and power to increase in our church. Amen? And in your lives. In our church means you. It's in the church, the people of God, the priesthood of all believers. Amen? Yeah. Now, for many younger teens, it may be their first public profession of faith. That's also an expression of confirmation, where those who are confirmed by the bishop, they go through the rite of confirmation and make confessions and vows in front of the church. And sometimes that's a person's first public expression of their faith. And especially for teenagers. In the coming year, we are beginning a youth catechism class that will prepare our teens for receiving confirmation. Sarah Stewart and Father Derek will be putting this together. And it's going to begin, I guess, in January sometime. And so when we kneel before the bishop for the laying on of hands with prayer, we are saying, I want you to get this, I recognize God's delegated authority in your pastoral oversight of this diocese. That's a very important thing. And that sounds pretty radical in our day of rebelling against authority and where authorities have failed us. And the church is continuing to be kind of messy right now. It's always been. If you read church history, it's always been. It's always been messy. There's no perfect church. I found it one time and I joined it and I messed it up. They kicked me out. Oh, just read church history, my brothers and sisters. You know, it is an amazing that we're standing here today proclaiming these things in light of all of the failures, in light of all of the issues, you know, throughout the centuries. You see, Jesus is building his church regardless, you see? And he cares about that, but he's not going to let him stop that process of building his church, because there will be a day when he comes to judge the living and the dead, and he will make things right. And so we are recognizing God's delegated authority in his pastoral oversight. And we're saying that you are among those who keep watch over my soul. Hebrews 13:17. That's what leaders do. They keep watch over your soul. We do that by way of prayer. I've got your names on a list. You're on a list. You guys are on a list. Those of you who are not even members but have been attending for a while, your name is on my list. And I keep watch over your soul. I lift you up in the mornings and throughout the day. And I'm keeping watch over your... That's why I'm concerned about you always. How you're doing physically, spiritually. How your walk is going. I'm bringing you before the Lord because you need his strength. Right? To live in the good of the grace of God, you need his strength. You need covering. You need to be in a safe place to do that because the world is not a safe place. And we want to make sure that the church is a safe place. You see, salvation is a transferal of authority. That's what salvation is. What do you mean? Colossians chapter 1 says, we have been transferred from one dominion of authority to another dominion of authority, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And so we have been in Christ delivered from the dominion of darkness, a rebellion against God's sovereignty. The dominion of darkness is a rebellion against God's sovereignty, led by one called the ruler of this world, Jesus said. The ruler of this world has been cast down. That's another one you can take to the bank, because on the cross he spoiled principalities and powers, making a public spectacle of them. But it's an issue of authority. It's a transferal from one authority to another. You can't run from authority. You're either under the dominion of darkness or under the dominion, the authority of Jesus as Lord. It's one or the other. We don't get to choose. We don't get to vote on that. He created us. We didn't even vote to come into this world, did we? And so that's the good news, that we don't have to live under the dominion of darkness, but we get to declare the praises of him. Don't you appreciate Sam and the worship team? This morning, I mean, we get to praise the Lord. We get to enter his gates with thanksgiving. We get to bow before the King of all creation. That's what we're doing in the liturgy. Amen? Yeah, thanks for bringing us there before the throne. I believe confirmation is akin to a baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's very much a baptism. An immersion in the Holy Spirit. Not the, but a. Because we're to constantly be filled with the Spirit. It's not a one-time thing. Paul says, in the present tense, which is the continuous in the Greek, in Ephesians 5, be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. But day by day, being filled up in worship of the living God. You see, we're being filled by the Holy Spirit singing. That's what Paul says. How to do it? Singing to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is equivalent to worship. As we worship Him, He inhabits our praises. Amen? And so I believe that confirmation is the laying on of hands to receive more of the Holy Spirit, like an immersion in the Holy Spirit, a type. Now get this, it's a type of ordination. Do you want to be ordained? It's a type of ordination for everyone. Confirmation is a type of ordination. Ordination for what? Ministry. All God's people are ministers. Yeah. We're just here to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. You see, it's not clericalism. We want to see you flowing and functioning in your gifts, which is an overflow of your life of worship. If that's not there, then yeah, you won't be motivated, because it'll be easier to watch TV and just kind of hang out and not be animated. See, God wants to animate us, and that is to move us out into service for Him, but it takes a worshiping saint to do that. Because that's where we submit and bow our knee and say, not my will, but yours be done, O Lord. And He gives us the power to do it. And so I think it's a little ordination for everyone, a rite of anointing for the priesthood of all believers. That's what confirmation is, whereby the bishop commissions the confirmand to receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit for witness and service. Dear friends, receive it by faith. And I believe in today's New Testament passage, Romans 1:7, Paul wants to come to Rome to do confirmations. Where do I get that? Romans 1:9 and following. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers. There's the model of leadership right there. He's got them covered, and He's not even met them. Asking. Oh, the church is an asking church. Asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. Verse 11, here it is. Note the affection. I long to see you. There's emotional investment here. This is his heart. This is not Pastor CEO. This is someone who is just so wide open in his heart. And I long to see the Christians in Rome. Oh, I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. How many want that? Yeah, I want that. I want it all the time. Oh, impart some spiritual gift to strengthen me. I need your strength. The Lord is my strength in song. He has become my salvation. And then he ends this, verse 12. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. He's saying, hey, I have something to impart to you, but you have something to impart to me. Yeah, your faith will encourage me, but we have to get together. It won't happen on Zoom. It requires that touch, the laying on of hands, the laying on, you know, the laying on of the screen. Here we go. Receive it. Come on. And so this is what our bishop's coming to do, what Paul wants to do to the Romans. He wants to do something to them. And he wants to receive something from them. It's a mutual thing. And so out of prayers for all of you, St. Aidan's in Kansas City, Bishop Stewart seeks to come and impart some spiritual gift to strengthen us. Who would not want that? I'm going to get confirmed again, even though it's not allowed. Okay, there it is. And so as we think of strengthening the church, what does confirm actually mean? Where did we get that word? It comes from two Latin words, con famere. Con is with, and famere is to make firm, to make strong. So to confirm you in the faith, we need to be confirmed to be made strong together with the body of Christ. And our bishop comes as the symbol of unity for our diocese, who is coming out of a province of one holy Catholic apostolic church. And he's coming to strengthen you if you receive it by faith. You see, Jesus was amazed at one time. Do you remember in the gospel in Mark 6? There was one time where it said that Jesus was perplexed. He was amazed. And it was in his hometown, Nazareth. It said that he could only lay his hands, here it is again, he could only lay his hands and heal a few sick people, which I would go, I'll take that. But Jesus was amazed because that's all he could do because it said of their unbelief. Let's ask God to give us a strengthening of corporate faith, where we come inside this room and we're expecting God to move. We're expecting God to heal people who need healing, to save people who need saving, to bring people into repentance that have walked away from God. We need that expectation, right? Amen. A corporate faith. You see, it won't work with just a few people believing that, because it hindered Jesus in his ministry. I wanted to do more in Nazareth. It was my hometown. I was the homeboy. And I couldn't do it because I'm just the carpenter's son. Oh, the sin of familiarity. What can he do? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of this NTS sanctuary? These guys don't even own their own building. I was in a conversation about that this week, and somebody said, hey, you know what? I know some parishes in the Catholic Church, they're really needing to offload them. And I said, I don't want an albatross around my neck. We're going to fill this place up more than one time on Sundays before we buy our building, if we ever need to, but the tail's not going to wag the dog here. Amen? We don't need a building. Look at this place. Let's fill it. Let's see the glory of God fill the house. Amen? And let's get confirmed and strengthened and filled with the Holy Spirit. And our bishop's going to come and participate in that. What is it? That diabolical act against the powers of darkness. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.